Welcome to Game Day Gold and GameDayGold.com. Larry Fitzgerald visiting with Hall of Famer, the Supreme Justice. Alan Page joins us on Super Bowl week at the incredible Mall of America. And Mr. Page, it's so good to see you again. All I can do is salute you on the incredible career you've had, not only as a journalist. How you doing? So good to see you.
You too. Awesome, man. Good.
And as well as a Supreme Court Justice and the incredible career you had at the University of Notre Dame, being born and raised in Canton, Ohio. What a story. I mean, the Hall of Fame, you're born there, you go on to Notre Dame, an All-American, and then play all those great years with the Minnesota Vikings and the Chicago Bears.
Well, it's the stuff of legend, if you will. I'm not sure I'm really worthy of it all, but I've had a lot of good fortune, been able to end up working with a lot of great people and a lot of great organizations, and having been fortunate enough to have some opportunities that, as you know, for many young people when I was growing up, were not available.
When did you get that passion to help young people through your foundation with the money that you have directed to them to help them move forward with their education?
Well, over the last 30 years, we've had, we call them Page Scholars, we've had about 6,700, give or take, a few young men and women of color. We've given grants ranging in amounts from about $14 million over that time. And the passion really began with my parents, who instilled in me the notion that education was going to be the key to overcoming the disadvantages of growing up in a society that disfavored African Americans, in a society that discriminated against African Americans. They understood that education was a tool that could be used to overcome that. And it seems to me that it's a tool that can be used for anybody, under any circumstances, whether they're economic disadvantages, racial disadvantages, whatever they might be. Education is a tool that can help anyone achieve whatever their hopes and dreams are.
So for you, growing up as a young child, education was first, long before you start dreaming about playing.
Oh, long before. I wasn't one of those kids that dreamed about playing. I started playing more by accident than by design. My brother, who was ahead of me in school, had played, and I thought, well, he seems to enjoy it, so I'll give it a try. I was really just following in his footsteps. Turns out I had some aptitude for it.
Not too bad. A Hall of Fame player, and to go to Notre Dame. What was that like when Notre Dame called you and said, Alan, we'd like to offer you a scholarship?
Well, I had the opportunity to go to a number of schools. Michigan State, Michigan, Ohio State, Notre Dame, Purdue, and a few others. And I sort of thought, you know, I mean, I'd heard about Notre Dame with its history, all the way back to Newt Rockne. It's just talking about the stuff of legends.
Right.
And to be a part of that and to go to an institution that had an academic reputation, that was also important. And so I was pretty excited. And I turned down some pretty good schools to have the opportunity to go there.
Wow. Then you get drafted after that incredible All-America career at the Notre Dame. And you're drafted by the Minnesota Vikings.
By the Vikings.
What an incredible career that was. You're the first defensive player in the history of professional football to be the MVP in the National Football League. I mean, that hits me like a brick even just thinking about that.
Well, when you think about it, it is unique. Maybe it shouldn't be so unique. I doubt that I was the best defensive lineman ever to come along, and there were plenty of guys before me that may well have deserved the same honor. That is not to suggest that I'm not more than a little bit appreciative of it. But I've just been fortunate.
To have played in the Super Bowl and to see where the Super Bowl is today, Super Bowl 52, right here in Minneapolis, and all the result of this community digging deep and helping, playing their role in building U.S. Bank Stadium.
It's great to have it here. The stadium is a marvel. It's absolutely a wonderful place. The thing I love about it is you walk into it and you feel like you're outdoors. Mm-hmm. You get all the benefits of being outdoors, but yet being able to control the elements to some degree. And so having the game here is really a big deal for our community.
Have you had a chance to look at the two teams and sort of say this one is better in this area than the other, and that's why I think they might win?
I have to tell you, I'm not that much of a fan. I am assuming one of them is going to win, and which one it is doesn't matter to me much one way or the other. Hopefully it'll be a good game so that people have a good memory of their experience here in Minneapolis.
Justice Page, when did you know you had that career to climb as high as the Supreme Court as a justice?
You know, I don't know that, well, until I had been practicing law for a number of years, it hadn't occurred to me that I might one day be a judge of any sort, much less a Supreme Court justice. After practicing a while, I sort of figured out that my skills and my interest and my experience went my background to what Supreme Court, what appellate court judges do. But again, it really began with parents. And not consciously, it wouldn't have occurred to them, but they were constantly, in addition to reinforcing the notion of the value of education, they were constantly reinforcing the notion that whatever I did when I grew up, whatever I wanted to do, that I do it as well as I could. Not as well as the next person, but as well as I could. They would say, you know, if you want to be a garbage collector, be the best garbage collector you can be. You want to be a doctor, be the best doctor you can be. We don't care which it is, but be as good at it as you can be. And that stuck. And I think that contributed a lot to my success on the football field, and certainly contributed a great deal to my success in the law.
When you rise that high and look down at the system, do you look at things and say the system is right, the system is fair, or there can be changes in the system?
Well, if you're talking about our legal system, and particularly our criminal justice system, things are not fair. We have, for far too long, had disparities in the way white and non-white criminal defendants are treated. If you're non-white, you're subject to more arrests, being stopped more often, charged more often, prosecuted more often, longer sentences, less fair trials, the whole range. The disparities are unconscionable. And it's not so much that the system is biased. It is what I would call the present effects of past discrimination bleeding into what we do today. And in fact, former United States Supreme Court Justice William O. Douglas called it slavery unwilling to die. And we have to figure out how to get at those vestiges of the past, from the Jim Crow era, from the slavery era, and unbundle them so that justice is really blind, so that justice is really fair, and so that everybody who enters the judicial system is treated the same. I mean, it's something that I worked on for the 22 plus years that I was on the court, and you know, we spent our time trying to solve the immediate problem without getting to the underlying problem, and we've got to figure out how to get to the underlying problem.
Larry Fitzgerald,
you know, certainly there are people who make up the judiciary who are either racially insensitive or for whatever reason engage in discrimination, but those people are few and far between. It's not a people problem, it's a system problem.
We're visiting with Justice Alan Page, the Hall of Fame star that played for so many years in the National Football League with the Minnesota Vikings and as well the Chicago Bears, my hometown team that I grew up on. And Mr. Page, let's talk about your exhibit at the Minneapolis Central Library in downtown Minneapolis and how you have put this together and what it means to you.
Well, about 30 years ago, Diane and I started collecting artifacts from African-American history, from slavery through today. In fact, the exhibit is called Testify. Artifacts from slavery to today from the collection of Diane and Alan Page. And we started collecting to have a African-American cultural presence in our home. And over the years, we've collected everything from slave collars to slave branding irons to some of the most beautiful artwork you can imagine depicting or by African-American artists. And about a year ago, somebody said, you know, it would be great if you could display that beyond just your home.
Right.
And we thought, well, that would be a good idea. Of course, every venue in town is booked up for years in advance.
Right.
And we were looking at venues, and back in October, we kind of stumbled on, maybe it was September, we stumbled on the library. And we thought, wouldn't it be great if we could get it up, the exhibit up for the Super Bowl? But the library was booked. It had something, I believe, up to the beginning of January, and then something that was coming in right after that that was going to go on for the next, I don't know how long. But somebody, and as it turns out, the library was the venue of all the places that we've seen that was our favorite, that was ideal for the collection. And they said, you know, sorry, we can't do it because we're booked. We'd love to have it sometime in the future. And then the Friday before Thanksgiving, we got a call and said, we have this month-long window that if you would like to put the exhibit up, we could do it starting on the 8th of January through the 6th of February. And, of course, we jumped at the opportunity, but you can't imagine the amount of work that had to be done, both in terms of designing the exhibit, collecting, you know, gathering all the items, figuring out what was going to go in. I mean, so many loose ends you can't begin to imagine. But Our daughter Georgie became the project director with the help of some curatorial advisors and a friend of ours who's done a lot of work for the Page Education Foundation in designing our logos and that sort of thing. We pulled it off. And the library has been just a wonderful place for it. It's accessible because there are people in libraries. And so people have been there to see it. People have gone to see it, made it a destination. In fact, the library, at the first week, I think they were averaging about 25 to 30 people an hour. That jumped up to 50 people an hour. And this last week, it's just been overwhelming. I don't think they've ever seen or had an exhibit that they've had that many people come through. And you come through the exhibit, and it's very moving. There's a brick from the original White House that was uncovered when the White House was restored back in the late 50s during the Truman administration, early 50s during the Truman administration. There's a Abraham Lincoln funeral banner. On one side of it, it says, "Uncle Abe, we will not forget you." The other side says, "Our country shall be one country." Speaking the promise and the hope for a better future for this country. We're not there, but hopefully the people who see the exhibit will be challenged by it to take action to make sure that we do become one country. And that's just a very, that's just two items in the exhibit, and it gets better from there. When you, that Lincoln funeral banner, when you see it, and it's in a case, but when you're close to it, it literally, at least it does to me, transports me back to 1865. It is that powerful.
Supreme Court Justice Alan Page has been our guest on Game Day Gold and GameDayGold.com. Larry Fitzgerald with you. Don't forget to get by and see the exhibit. It continues till February 6th, not just Super Bowl week, but also in downtown Minneapolis at the Central Library, the exhibit at right there between 4th and 3rd off of Nicollet Mall. And what a tremendous opportunity this is to see historic, once-in-a-lifetime pieces.
Those are the vestiges of slavery unwilling to die. And, you know, we are having this debate about whether monuments to the Confederacy, whether Confederate flags, those kind of things, what role they should play in our society and our future.
Yeah, I don't know if it's going to be live or taped.
I don't know that I have an answer to that, but I can tell you this. When people start talking about the Confederate flag and those monuments being their legacy and memorializing their history, the items that are on display in our exhibit are the facts of that history. They tell you what those people are seeking to honor. And it can be very disturbing. But we should never forget what that period was about.
Justice Page, thank you so much. You've touched me from my formative years in Chicago to what you achieved at Notre Dame and what you continue to achieve through your philanthropy work with you and your incredible wife, Diane. I tell you, I've started my own foundation, and I can't give you guys enough money to help you do what you continue to do, and thank you.
Well, thank you. You know, somebody once said to me, you never know what you do the impact or the influence it's going to have on somebody else. And when you stop and think about that, it's true, but it also makes you think, I need to be careful when I do whatever I do, because I've got the power, but it's not just me, all of us have that power. You have that power, you've influenced people. You have no idea who they are or what that influence was, but you've done the same thing. And it's so important particularly for us as African Americans, to understand that how we act, what we do, what we say will impact generations to come. And we can influence those generations.
Making a difference with the great Alan Page. Thank you so much.
Thank you, sir. My pleasure. Much fun.
Excuse me, I'm getting emotional here. Wow.